Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, May 23rd, 2007, the only May 23rd, 2007 in the history of humanity. And it is the only third Spring Pledge Drive webcast 2007 that we will ever have. And joining us online, as always, the president of the Gospel Revolution, the reason for the season, if you will, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael, how are you this evening?
I am wonderful.
You know, last week, Mike, we got some information from some of our listeners that we were actually online like 5 minutes early.
That's what I heard.
Before we were actually online.
And I'm sure you probably embarrassed us.
Well, I don't know exactly. I think it may have been a little embarrassing, although we've often said that we probably could have a lot more people contribute if they had a chance to listen to what we actually talk about prior to going online, if you catch my drift.
Yes, that is true.
But we're glad to have you along with us and for us to know that we actually are online on this Wednesday night. And this is the last official night, the last webcast of the Spring Pledge Drive. I've had a lot of problems saying that over these last 3 weeks.
Spring like, Pledge Drive?
Spring's Pledge Drive. I don't know if it's because you had Chinese food last week when we were starting the program.
Oh, I know. I was eating fast. I was starving.
That's pretty politically incorrect for me to say, isn't it?
I know. No doubt.
But I said it anyway.
Why not?
We say a lot of politically and religiously incorrect things on this webcast. Ladies and gentlemen,
we're gospelly correct.
But always gospelly correct. Exactly.
And we just created another word. It's gospelly.
And we'll interpret it. Now here is the official interpretation from Michael Williams of the word gospelly.
Yes, it's things that just feel like the gospel.
Things that just gospelly. Feel right.
Yeah, it feels like the gospel.
Well, we will be taking your questions, your gospelly questions tonight at 1-800-436-3260. That is the official Glenn Klein Online Spring Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution hotline, 1-800-436-3260. Patrick Jones is waiting for you to take your questions and your phone calls, pardon me, and your pledges. We're focused on the pledge drive tonight, and also, this will be our last live webcast for about a month as yours truly traverses to the north. Not quite as far north as you go, Michael, to Canada, but far north enough in the northwoods of Wisconsin where I will be doing some speaking myself as well as catching some R&R with my three oldest sons.
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to that. But we will be airing the best of Glenn Klein Online. So for you addicts out there, don't worry. You don't even have to go to the archives. We will be having something special come your way each of the next Wednesday nights. However, tonight is the night to call. Get your questions live and direct for Michael at 1-800-436-3260. Or as always, you can email us your questions at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That address, email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We are endeavoring over these next 21 days, with about 7 days left, to raise $5,000. That's the operating budget of Mike Williams' ministry and the Gospel Revolution over the next 3 months. It doesn't sound like a lot, Mike, but for us, we're moving right along, and we're at about $2,260. So that means that we need to raise $1,740 tonight, and for those that are listening on the archive right now, it's doable, isn't it, Mike?
Yes, it is. It's certainly doable. And as Pastor John told us, don't put any limits on it. Let people give more than five if they want. Or if there's somebody out there who has 5,000 they want to give, they could add it tonight, too.
Absolutely. And we want to catch up on some of the folks that gave during the course of the week. And for those of you that are listening on the archive right now, believe us when we tell you that your archived pledges absolutely count towards the goal and are just as appreciated. And we just ask you to email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com so we know what you've done and so that we can include that into the goals. But email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com And last week, Michael, we had Mike Matzy, donate $1,500 towards this effort.
Yes, he did.
Which is very much appreciated, and obviously bumped significantly the totals thus far. And Mike, we cannot thank you enough.
Yes, thank you
for helping us out. I mean, that's a huge chunk of the 2260 that's come in so far for this spring pledge drive. But it all counts, Michael, towards the goal.
Yes, absolutely. And we are very grateful and thankful to everyone who has participated thus far. And, you know, we'll make sure that you get that extra piece of jewelry in your crown in heaven.
Or we'll send you a special prayer shawl. Like Marilyn Hickey does.
Yes, we could do that.
They're all into the talit, which is, of course,
spring water.
Yeah, or we could send you some holy water from Israel.
Yeah. We'll just let people check a box and see which one they want.
Whatever you want, but what you do get for sure is for $100 or more, you get the brand new CD teaching Golgotha's Secret. Mike, give us a little bit of a clue as to what that teaching was all about, that people will be receiving free of charge for $100 gift or more.
Well, we went into the book of Zechariah. I went through and gleaned through some of the familiar verses out of Zechariah's prophecy that are recognized by the church community now and has been recognized for some years. Some quite obvious things that were fulfilled by Jesus on the cross. It's the one thing that supports the dispensational teaching, which basically is designed to throw so much confusion into the scriptures that it makes you believe that there is some other period of time coming up, because dispensationalism was designed to keep you from understanding the gospel. It really is a fairly dastardly thing that was designed because people did not understand the completed fulfilled work of all prophecy and all law. But one of them that was thrown off into the future by dispensationalists was the one where Zechariah said that his feet, speaking of Jesus, would touch the Mount of Olives, and that at that moment that the mountain would cleave in two, and that later on after that there would be a highway running in between those two mountain peaks. And so I started studying into that. That was actually quite feasible, that one of the possible places for the crucifixion was the Mount of Olives for a number of reasons, but I kept following that theory through to see whether or not it was correct. And again, because we have the latitude to believe that all Scripture has been fulfilled, it causes us to look at things with a little bit more of an open mind to be looking at things in view of the cross.
All right. Now, you just said we have the latitude to believe.
Yes.
Wouldn't you, can you say it, would you feel more comfortable saying it more strongly?
I don't know of any way I can say it more strongly.
Well, I mean, it's not just, you know, we don't just have the freedom to believe it. That's what Jesus actually said.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. But instead of being restricted by dispensationalist teaching, we are able to look at the full breadth of this being about Jesus. So that's how we looked at it, and that's the culmination of the teaching, is that all of Zechariah's prophecy has been fulfilled. It's not something in the future, and there's great things in there that are validated not only by the prophets and also by John's vision in Revelation, but it's also validated in pictures and geological history, that this actually did occur 2,000 years ago at the cross of Jesus Christ.
That's good news, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you on Glenn Klein Online on this Wednesday night. It is the Spring Pledge Drive, the third and final night of the webcast, where we ask you to help us raise the funds for the next 3 months of the Gospel Revolution. Who will be the first one in? We need somebody to get us going here on this particular May evening. 1-800-436-3260 is the toll-free number to call. 1-800-436-3260. We have a special guest calling in later on. Yes, Michael?
Yes, we do.
We look forward to that. But in the meantime, the phone line is available. We'd love to hear from you. Even, you know, we've had people call in, Michael, and or write us and say, you know what, I'm going through a tough time financially right now. There is nothing better that you can do with your money than contribute something to this effort right now, because what it's money speaks, or you can speak to money. You have the choice. And by giving a gift to an effort that you support and that you believe in, you're saying, you know what, money doesn't have me, I have it. $5, everybody that's listening to the sound of our voices right now can afford $5. And you should give from your heart, of course, but even $5 adds up, Michael. I mean, we cannot stress enough how much the $5 and $10 and $20 and $25 gifts, if you can't afford $100 right now, give $5. Give a buck. Send a buck to P.O. Box 572, Olney, Illinois, 62450. Just put a dollar.
Always appreciated and just helpful.
And it's a statement of where you're at mentally, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. I think that giving is one of those things that after we get past being upset about having been raped by legalism, it's one of those things for my life that I've gone back and picked up again and said, you know, giving really is an expression of who I am. And I was not comfortable with not giving into the gospel financially. I gave my whole life to it, but I just feel very comfortable, you know, getting a portion of my finances on a regular basis and contributing it to the gospel. I feel good about that. I really do believe that that giving is a cultivator and shows motivation. It shows intent on our parts when we give. I mean, if putting your money down for something that you want and paying for it shows what you want, how much more does giving to something that is simply a gift to that which you love and support from your heart, much more an expression of really who you are at your core values, to who you really are yourself. And I'm not comfortable with not giving, Glenn.
This isn't something that we're asking people to do that we have not done. I mean, between the two
absolutely.
Of us, I mean, we've given literally tens of thousands of dollars into this. This is nothing
absolutely.
I mean, you know, in your situation, you've given up everything financially. And
yes, that is very true.
And so, people, we cannot stress enough to you that $1 is a statement, but it helps. I mean, we have thousands of people that get our emails and that listen to this webcast and that are in touch with this ministry. And if everybody just gave a buck, I mean, that would help raise quite a bit of money this week.
Oh, absolutely would.
So if you're struggling right now financially, just get it out of an envelope, address it to P.O. Box 572, Olney, O-L-N-E-Y, Illinois, 62450. In the United States. If you're sending checks outside the United States, please include USF by the total, which stands for United States Funds. That helps us out immensely. Saves us $15 for every check that goes through. And participate in this webcast. But we're waiting for our first pledge tonight. You can email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Or call 1-800-436-3260. If you get a busy signal, just call back, because your pledges are very, very important and critical. Do you have a caller, Mike, or Patty? We have a donation coming in. Excellent. That is very good to hear. In the meantime, let's go over some of the donations that came in last week after the webcast. Folks that were listening to the archives. And let's see here. Where is it? Bruce and Linda Gosi from Kentucky contributed $100, which we very much appreciate.
Yeah,
good
thank
friends.
You.
Here's a $100 pledge, Mike, from Rita and Carrie Whiteman from beautiful Montana.
Folks in Montana. We've got a lot of people in Montana who have been set free by the gospel, that's for sure.
And we have from Mary Keller contributing $100. Her and her husband are giving $100. And Mary, we will get to your question. She's got a great question, Michael, that we will have fun with later on. Here's a question, Michael, that came in, and we're going to take care of this right now. This was from Lee Williams of beautiful Houston, Texas. Says that, hi, I live in Houston and had tried contacting the Freedom Worship Center. That's Mike's new church in Houston, where John Adair is the pastor of, via phone and email to no avail. Is it possible that you could give me an actual address so that I might attend? Do you have that handy?
It is so handy. I've already been in contact with her, and she's coming this weekend. Her and her family, they have two children, and they wanted to know if we had children, and I said yes. So we have this some of the most wonderful children that I've had. It was really weird, Glenn, because being around the kids in this group was like being around your children in your home, which I told you years ago, that when you first invited me to come and stay at your home, and then you told me that you had six kids, I wasn't sure that was going to be a very pleasant stay for me. And I honestly didn't want to leave. I mean, your children, your sons and your daughters, were just, at their age, were just as pleasant as they could possibly be. And you know, no thunderclouds running around, and it was beautiful. And when I was trying to explain to her, and it just now, since I'm on the phone with you, it came to me that was like that experience for me with the kids that are in the little church group that we have here, which I don't know exactly how many of them there are, but they all gather around there. In fact, one of the two of them were helping lead worship and praise this last weekend.
How old were they?
Well, the one boy, I think he is 14, and the one girl is 17. And then we had one of John's sons who was just. He's about seven or so. I'm not exactly sure, but he just sits real quietly with a cross in front of the worship and praise group, and just sits there. You're just holding this little cross with him sitting on the floor. It's about as high as he is, and he just sits there. And then when we get ready to do the teaching, they dismiss them, and the 14-year-old boy, I think, is actually in charge of the young kids, and you just don't hear anything from them. It's just beautiful. And then sometimes they dismiss them to go outside and do some, to play in the front yard, actually. And if any of them have to come in, there's nobody hustling up to the door and disturbing. I mean, they very quietly open the door and close the door, come in, do or get whatever they need, and go back to the door and very quietly open it and close it. And then I'm sure they're all kid out in the yard. It's just, it's beautiful. So just, it's pretty much the same experience that I had in your home with the young kids there at the church group.
Yeah, that's before they turned into teenagers, most of them.
Yes,
so.
That is.
yeah, no, they're still great. And
they are. And you know what? I was at your house the other day, and still, I mean, they may be regular teenagers to their parents, to you and Don, but they still were just absolute gentlemen and ladies and friendly and bright when I was there. And, you know, a lot of people have guests come to their house, Glenn, and the kids will act just as bad as they do with their parents. But, you know, and I respect that a kid who has enough going for them, that they know that they might, you know, act like a regular teenager and even be upset and disgruntled. But, you know, when a guest comes around, they turn on the charm. And I think that that is praiseworthy. It's just, it's a beautiful thing.
And, no, my kids are great. They're actually, well, four of them are young adults at this point. But we've been very, very fortunate. So Lee Williams was asking for the address, and Michael said he got it. For those who are contemplating, and you may be listening live, you might be listening on the archive, ironically, the Freedom Worship Center is on Joan Lee. it's 19811-19811 Joan Lee, LEIGH, in Spring, Texas, which is in the Houston area. The zip code is 77388. That's Freedom Worship Center, 19811 Joan Lee in Spring, Texas, 77388. The phone number there, 281-288-1808.
And we're going into our new building in about 3 weeks.
Sweet.
New facility.
Well, online right now, Michael, after having donated $150 to this Gospel Revolution effort, is Mr. Richard Mull calling us from Southern California. Hello,
My
Richard.
Traveling buddy Richard.
How are you this evening? Richard, are you with us? Rich?
Yes. Hello, Richard.
There he is. Hey, Richard.
Yes, sir.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm in sunny Southern California, where the beautiful people live.
You know, they really do. And you know what? California is such a wonderful place that they have to have an actor be the governor.
I heard that here first.
Yeah.
Well, I like him better in the movies.
Well, he is the Terminator. He is the Terminator. So, Michael, Richard's a longtime supporter of the Gospel Revolution, a good friend of yours. Why don't you introduce the folks to Richard, and we're so happy to have you, Richard.
I'm so happy to be had.
Yeah, well, this is my friend. He's been around for a long, long time. I mean, Richard's been around so long, I don't even know how old he is anymore. But he has been around and in the meetings going way back, and it was part of the entire transition into understanding grace. He was there, actually. I believe Richard and I'm not sure if Eva was there or not, his wife, when we did the new series. At that time was new series, six tape series entitled The Scriptures. Weren't you there in Tulsa with me, Richard?
Oh yes, I was there, Michael.
Oh yes. Yes, and that was, so there's been a lot of instances. Richard also came up to Nova Scotia and was a wonderful part of the meetings there. And just traveled up to Calgary also. And so Richard knows everything that's in the CDs of the new teachings because he was sitting right there through each and every one of the sessions and got to meet the people. And Richard, what was your take on being in a Calgary, Canada conference?
I think it was a unique experience that you can only go through something like this if you're present there when something is happening or something's being revealed for the first time. And it was a true revelation. All the things that we heard, especially when you started teaching out of Zechariah, that was just great. I enjoyed it. There was some shock on some of the people's faces because they thought they'd heard it all. And we're just scratching the surface of this puppy dog. I mean, it's just like a flea on the tail of a dog. It's so minute, but it causes a lot of irritation to that dog. He can work that tail. But boy, I'll tell you, this is good stuff. This is great stuff. I believe in it 100%.
I think that's a great point, Richard, because Michael noted that too, that people seem to be surprised. And you know, a lot of times people will put down the gospel, if you will, for months on end. They really won't contemplate it. And then when they come back to it, and we've been marinating in it, and we get fresh understanding and fresh revelation, if you will, that people can be shocked sometimes. But I think you're right, Richard, that this gospel is so infinite and so enormous in its scope that we are just starting to scratch the surface right now.
That's wonderful.
And we are going back to Calgary November the 9th, 10th, and the 11th. That's the first announcement of that. We just confirmed the meeting today.
I feel like
I'll be there.
We should have some trumpets blowing or something.
I think so, yes. Tell Patrick to whistle or something.
Patrick, whistle. Michael asked you to whistle. He whistled.
Hey, Glenn, I'd like to say that everybody there is doing a great job, a fantastic job. Glenn Klein Online, the ministries, all the work, all the folks that support you and help you out there, they're terrific. I mean, I love all of those guys there, and I'm really, really pleased that you're doing this online. I'm pleased that you're having the pledge drive, and I was going to wait until October to increase my monthly support again like I do every year, but I'm so excited I'm going to do it June 1st this year.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Richard.
And Richard, what will that support be, might I ask?
Well, it started out with $25 a month years ago, and now it'll be $125 a month.
That's awesome. Very much appreciated. And see, folks, that's how you start. You start a little bit at a time, and we encourage people, even if they give a small amount, make a monthly contribution. And we're looking during this pledge drive to get 21 new people who are not monthly givers, who have not been, to start doing that. So far, we've had two folks come on board for that. But let us know here at webcastgospelrevolution.com what you're going to do, not only in a one-time gift like Richard did, but on a monthly basis, because we really need the help. We just got an email, Richard, that said, Richard used to come to my church in California 8 years ago, and his wife Eva used to lead worship for me from time to time. This is from our good friend John Adair.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing John. I'll be down in Houston in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to see Michael down there, of course, and I want to go over and see John. He probably looks the same. I remember him as not real tall, rather rotund, and no hair. And that's probably John Adair I remember.
Well, he says, hello, Richard. Love you mucho.
That's great. Well, thank you, Glenn, so much. Michael, I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Hey, wait a second. You got to go already?
No, I don't have to
go. All right, we want to know a little bit about your background. What do you do, and how did you come across this gospel?
Well, what I do now is different from what I did back then when I came across the gospel. I'm working in a large accounting firm now as an administrative supervisor, and prior to this, I was in aerospace. And prior to that, I was in the military for 21 years. I used to go around doing all kinds of crazy things. And around 91, around that time frame, I came to a realization that my life in evangelical church, word of faith, full gospel, you name it, I was in it. I'd probably been in 35, 40 different denominations around California and other places. Couldn't get any satisfaction. There was something missing, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And I was miserable, and I was doing everything that Michael used to do. I was on the platform. I ministered at Marilyn Hickey Ministries, even worked there for a period of time.
The aforementioned Marilyn Hickey.
Yes, thank you.
It's Marilyn Hickey.
Met
there.
Kenneth Copeland, and you know, Larry Lee, and dozens of others, and used to stand up there and talk with them, and sometimes I'd speak in front of them, they speak. But I just felt that there was too much epoxy, too much what I call a forked tongue. Two things coming out of the mouth at the same time, one for them and one for the people. And I said, no, this isn't right. If it's not the same for everybody, then it's not the gospel.
Yeah.
So I started listening to some of my tapes early 90s, real early in the 90s, and got out of those tapes that I needed to hear more, and got a hold of some more. Got a hold of Michael, met him in a couple of places, just been all over the place.
Had you contemplated redemption of the world prior to hearing the gospel from Michael?
I hadn't contemplated it, Glenn, but I'll be honest with you. When I first heard it, it sounded perfect, exactly like it was supposed to be. It wasn't a surprise to me.
Nor was it to me.
So many things that people hear in the gospel of grace and peace when they say, oh, that's a surprise, I never heard that before. Well, it's already in you. Just listen to your inner self.
Exactly.
Listen to the Lord speaking to you inside. And he's telling you that. Get your head out of the way.
Yeah.
I had to get my head off somewhere to where I would stop listening to the head and just listen to the heart. And then it just all fell into place.
And the beautiful thing about the gospel, amongst so many things, is that not only is it consistent with what's in your heart, but it is logical as well. When you get the religious garbage out of the way, it is when you look at the Bible and when you read it in context and you go back to what the Bible actually intends, it makes sense, too.
The logic is perfect.
You know, when I was a young believer, I had a salvation experience when I was 25. And within about 2 years, my father-in-law and my grandfather passed away. My father-in-law was a rural farmer from Wisconsin, and my grandfather was a tough old Jewish guy from Chicago. And I led them to the Lord, both, before they died. And I knew my grandfather was dying, but I didn't know my father-in-law was dying. And obviously, when you're in that evangelical mindset, Richard and Michael, you want everybody to get in. And
yeah.
And here, these were the two closest people that, since I had become a believer, had died, and I was confident they had gone to heaven. So I remember one day, now this was maybe 2 years into my experience, and I was walking across a bridge by our house in Wisconsin, and I remember praying, and I said, God, I said, here, my father-in-law and my grandpa had accepted Christ, and I'm confident to know where they are right now. But I was honest with God, and I said, at some point, somebody's going to go that I care about, let alone the ones I don't care about, and I'm not going to know what happens to them. And there was this sense, you know, we used to call it a word from the Lord, but all I can tell you is I had a sense. Now, this was 2 years into my experience with Christ as a Jewish kid from Chicago, and there was a sense that I had inside of me that said, don't worry about it, everything's going to be all right. And that you don't know, this was the strong impression I had, you don't know what happens between here and eternity. And people always say, you know, well, don't you have to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Now, the Bible never says that. But everybody that, that was confronted in the New Testament with the reality of the risen Christ had the same exact reaction that Paul had, that Doubting Thomas had, that Peter had. When you are confronted with the risen Christ, because that seed is in the human heart, they have the same reaction that Doubting Thomas had when Jesus came through the walls, my Lord and my God. So 2 years, even though it took another 10 years practically for me to hear the gospel from Michael and to understand from the Bible the impression that I had, it made complete sense, like you said, Richard. And to this day, you know, people say, well, you change your mind once, you change your mind twice, why wouldn't you change your mind again? And I said, listen, I remain open, but there has never been anything other than the gospel that has come close to making so much sense and being so such an answer to what, as you say, Richard, is in our hearts.
That's it, Glenn. You got it in a nutshell. You know, I encourage everybody who's listening tonight to support this. If you believe it, if you trust in it, if it has done anything for you, especially free you up in anything in your life or from anything in your life, I encourage you to start giving monthly support, even if it's $10 to start with or $20 or $30 or whatever. You have to start somewhere. And then from there, you'll see that you'll want to increase it, because the more that you receive from this, the more you want to give back into it. And I think it's just tremendous what Mike is doing and all the people, these lives that he's touched. And you, Glenn, you're amazing.
That's what my wife says, Richard, but that's another story.
Well, I can't wait to meet you. You know,
I'm looking forward to it.
I only know what I've heard and the picture I've seen, and that's good enough for me.
Well, you know, we are, and we've talked about this before, Michael, on the webcast, we are going to have a Gospel Revolution convocation.
Yes.
It's going to happen. We're all the folks, and you'll have a year's heads up, folks, where everybody can come together, and that will be kind of like a little bit heaven on earth.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it most assuredly will. It's something all of the people that I'm in contact with, everyone's craving it. Everyone that I've mentioned it to says, we will be there, I will be there. And so, because they're anxious to see these other faces. A lot of times I think that, and of course the webcast has helped. It's every little group that I go to, which I don't go to anything but, small groups, but it has the tendency to make them feel like, because they're so isolated from the church community in their area, they almost feel as though they're the only ones in the world.
Exactly.
And my desire is for people to look at each other and to be able to see and to talk to each other personally so that they can encourage one another just by their presence that, gosh, you are there. You're real.
Mm-hmm.
And while right now that's what we're doing with the webcast is that we're allowing everyone to at least hear that, yes, others are out there. You're there. Richard's there. And my goodness, Mike Matzy and just like with John Adair, here these guys haven't seen each other for years, but still, are walking in the strength of the gospel and continuing to grow after all these years, being totally separated from each other for all of this time. I had not seen, I'd been out of contact with Richard for a while, and definitely with John and Mike Matzy also, all three gentlemen being from Southern California. But all respectively, because I've been in contact with all of them recently, have grown tremendously in the gospel, and it's just been amazing. But I think that being able to come together and hear that everybody else is out there is a really wonderful thing, and we're going to do it all together. Do just that very thing by getting everybody together in one place.
That will be a lot of fun. Richard, I'm sure you being a giving person give to other charitable organizations, but is there anything that you would think to be more important than to give to the message of the gospel right now?
No, this is life-changing and it's world-changing, and I think that this is probably the most important thing that's going on out there right now. People cannot live at peace with each other unless they know that someone actually loves them and loved them before they were ever aware of anything of that nature. And then when you know you've received that love free, without any conditions, then you can begin to see other people as you see yourself, and you can begin to love other people. And there isn't going to be hatred and strife and all this positioning and I've got to be there first, and it's just not going to happen. People are going to be able to live together and accept each other as equals, because the ground of the cross is all level. Christ was raised up. Everybody else was on level ground. And
that's good
when
stuff.
I think about that, it's just powerful.
That's phenomenal stuff.
It's all about the love, isn't it, Richard?
Amen. Richard, people can give to the American Cancer Society. They can give to Alzheimer's, and they can give to the Leukemia Fund, and all those things are important. But once you're healed from cancer, or once you make it through leukemia, people are still left with that same empty sense of, okay, now what?
Exactly.
This, ladies and gentlemen, this is the answer, now what? This is what happens next. You want to know what's next? This is what's next. We've had the civil rights movement. We've had the women's suffrage movement. We've had and we are currently having the gay rights movement. This is the spiritual rights movement. This is the movement that proclaims that all human beings are equal in the sight of God. And we have the reason, we have the testimony, we have the documentation of why this is true. We also have why this is not true. And all you have to do is turn on your Christian radio stations or your Christian television stations and hear the absolute schizophrenic nature of what's coming across the airwaves day after day, hour after hour, and you'll understand why it's so important to give into this message. We're talking with Richard Mull tonight. This is Glenn Klein Online. This is the third and final night of the Gospel Revolution Spring Pledge Drive. Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution, of course, as always, along for the ride. Give us a call as soon as Richard is off at 1-800-436-3260. We're taking your calls. We're taking your pledges. We're also taking pledges at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. If you're listening on the archive, please send us your contribution, your donation, even though that you're listening after hours, so to speak, because that will count towards the goal. We're raising $5,000 over these 21 days and looking for 21 new people who have not yet committed to monthly giving to do so. And for a $100 gift or more, you will receive free and postage paid the new teaching CD from Michael that he just did in Canada that we talked about earlier, Golgotha's Secret. So, Richard, how has the gospel affected your relationships?
My relationship with people or with the Lord, or clarify that a little bit, Glenn.
Well, what came to your mind first when I said that?
My relationship with everybody is probably about the same. I love everybody. I haven't found anyone that I don't like.
And that's really true with Richard. That really is true.
And it's a powerful thing to be able to walk into a place and look around and say, you know what? I'm equal with all these people, and they're equal with me. So I can't find anybody that I see myself as better than, and I don't see anyone who should see themselves as lesser than me or greater than me. In the corporate world where I work, it's a lot of positioning going on. Okay, I'm a senior manager, I'm a partner, I'm a director, I'm a supervisor, whatever. And I see that and I say, okay, that's fine, but you're still a human being and we're still equal in the eyes of the Lord. In God's eyes, we're all equal. So once we can understand that and we have a basis from which to go, it's easy to work with people because I can look at them and I can't find anything wrong with them because God sees them as perfect.
That's awesome. You know, I'm a huge sports fan, and I used to go to these huge sporting events, and I would look at these tens of thousands of people, and I would think, and it would kind of freak me out, that the vast majority of these people were going to hell. Now I'll go to a large venue, and I'll think, this is just the start. This is just the beginning. What a different perspective. That's a beautiful thing, Richard. How's it affected your relationship with God? Or your perceived relationship with the Lord?
Oh, wow. Just it's just so easy. I don't have to do anything to either weaken or strengthen that relationship. Right? There isn't anything I can undo to cause that relationship to change because he established it and he sealed it and then he came to live in me to prove it. And I think that's just beyond my comprehension. But I learn a little bit more every day that he's always there. No matter what I'm going through, good, bad, indifferent, whether I'm joyful or not joyful. Of course, I haven't found a day like that since 1987, but, you know, that's another story. I found nothing but joyful times and joyful days, and I just thank God every day for that, every day.
You know, it's so cool. A lot of times in the morning, I'll be sitting out by our pool. The sun will be coming up, and I'll be thinking about what's going to happen that day, and then invariably the Lord will come to my mind and I'll go, oh yeah, good morning, by the way, and thank you. And I don't have to, like, you know, gear myself up. It's right there. He's always there. He's ever present, never judgmental, never waiting for me to get in the presence of God. We're always in the presence, aren't we, Richard?
Yes, we are. Unbelievably so, every moment of every day, even when you're sleeping. And a lot of people say, well, I got to wake up and come before the Lord. Well, he's right there in you, so just look inside.
It's good stuff.
It's like trying to find your skin, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, Michael, I'll tell you what. Some people trying to use sandpaper to get to the lower levels, the lower layers. You don't have to do anything like that. You don't have to brush up against anything. Just know he's there, and he'll never leave you and never forsake you. And that's a promise that's certain for eternity. It's not going to change.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for your time and for your wonderful attitude and for your support. Really appreciate it and look forward to meeting you soon.
Thank you, Glenn.
That's Richard Mull, ladies and gentlemen. Hello.
Hello.
Richard left quite an impression in more ways than one. Why, when he makes an exit, he really makes an exit. All right.
Hour. Yes.
All right, well, that's Richard Mull from Southern California.
What did that take us up to with
24/10. We're at $2,410 on our goal to $5,000. Somebody can step up and make a donation of $1,390, and we'll call it a night and talk about the gospel some more, which we will anyway. But with your questions and comments, we have that phone line available now at 1-800-436-3260. The number is available, 1-800-436-3260. And we got a great letter just now, Michael, from John in New Jersey. He said that I'm glad to say that I'm able to give a little more this week than I did last week, and I just wanted to encourage others who may have already made a donation during this pledge drive to consider giving again this week. I could never express how much I appreciate the program, and I'm sure that feeling is shared by many. So come on, folks. Let's keep these guys going strong. So John from Kozier from New Jersey, another $100 gift. So now we're at $2,510. And so that is awesome, John. Really appreciate it. And let's keep it going. 1-800-436-3260. Who will be the next to call? The phone number is now, the second line is now available. Patrick L. Jones waiting to talk to you and to take your donation. And we'll take your questions too. 1-800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein Online Spring Pledge Drive toll-free hotline. 1-800-436-3260, or email us your pledges and questions and comments at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Mike, this next question comes from Stacy from Winchester, Virginia. She says, what are your thoughts on Jesus' parable of the prodigal son? EC says that the son that leaves then, what's EC stand for, do you think? EC says that the son that leaves then returns is like those who sin. Oh, the evangelical church. That's what it means.
Oh, okay.
The evangelical church says that the son that leaves then returns is like those who sin, then repent when they come back to God. I'd love your insight and have a great break, she says. That's awesome. Stacy from beautiful Winchester, Virginia. Well, okay, so what about the prodigal son?
Well, I think the most important thing that you learn about the prodigal son is that the father's perception and in the father's embracing him was never in question. Who he was and the fact that he was his father's son, even though he departed, it never changed the father's perception of him. The only thing that the prodigal son, I think that's what we're doing, is helping people have a prodigal son relationship to come back to where that their concept of is accurate of God's love, because even the prodigal said that the father didn't want anything to do with him, and he was basing it on his own actions and deeds. But as he saw that the father's opinion of him had never changed. It so flies in the face of evangelical EC. I like her putting the acronym to it. But the EC is proving themselves wrong even in that, because that parable of the prodigal son is in and of itself proof that if it is, as they say, someone returning to God, the fact of it is that in God's eyes, they were never, ever alienated whatsoever.
And would it be fair to say that the prodigal represents humanity as a whole?
Yes, it would be when we think about redemption, we have to think about one man. When you think about relationship with God, you must think one man, because that's the way the prophets dealt with it. That's the way that Jesus dealt with it. That's the way God dealt with it. That's the way the scriptures deal with it. There was only one man who sinned, and therefore there was only one sinner in God's eyes, but it happened to be the entire human race after the first Adam. There was only one Redeemer. There was only one who raised from the dead. But Paul made it very clear that there's only one that died, there's only one that raised from the dead. And Paul made it very clear that if one died, all are dead. And if one raised, then all are raised up together. And that doesn't mean that the individual has had that prodigal son relationship either. I mean, but as far as relationship with God, God did not break fellowship with you. This is man's conscience that we're dealing with. Hebrews said that now that we understand that through Jesus that he has redeemed the entire human race, he says that the blood of Christ can purge our conscience from dead works, not from evil works, but to totally purge. And I think that Richard is a very good example of someone having their conscience purged from dead works. I mean, he expressed it so well. There's nothing he can do or not do to make his relationship with God better or worse. It is consistent. It is solid. There's nothing variable about your relationship with God. Now, your perception of that relationship can vary. But man, I tell you, when the gospel comes in, it is the power of God unto salvation. And that salvation is not redemption, because the writer of the book of Romans also taught in that very same book that the entire world had been redeemed. So we understand that this gospel is so powerful, it can bring salvation to the mind and to the heart and to the soul, but it can only do it to the people who've already been redeemed. You have to be redeemed to get saved. And the redemption is not of ourselves. There is no participation on our part. And the only participation we play in the salvation of our soul is simply opening our ears and our eyes and listening and allowing that conversion, if you will, take place to where that what is true by absolute fact in the core of our being, that the identity of God lives in us and is us on the inside, that the mind and the heart can actually begin to interface with that. And of course, can you imagine a heart and a mind completely interfaced with the gospel of who you are, who you truly, truly are in the eyes of God, created in Christ Jesus to be? That if that interfaces, that as the other side of that turns around and faces the world, do we not think that it would change our perspective on everything and even change people's perspective of us? So this...
And change perspective of ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the changing of the perspective of ourselves comes as we begin to allow as our mind and our heart interfaces with the gospel. And
go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
And it brings about the communication that totally from spirit to heart and mind. And again, we bring this analogy. We're not trying to get anything into you. We're not trying to get you to interface with the gospel that's outside of you. We are using the gospel to help you interface your mind and your heart to that which is already fact. The gospel is not giving you redemption. The gospel is revealing to you the redemption you already have. And that revelation in and of itself is true salvation for the soul.
Mm-mm-mm. I could just start speaking in tongues right now. You know, what I was going to say was that it's exciting to know that people like Richard Mull and John Adair and the Millers that we talked to, these people are influencing other people who may or may not have had a church experience. And in my family, we have six children, as Michael said before. Three of them, and our oldest daughter, too, Hannah, were raised initially in the evangelical mindset. And then they came along for the ride, and they all understand and they love it. But Hannah, and especially her younger brother and sister, Isaac and Gracie, they've never known the religiosity and the legalism. And their lives are great examples of people who can understand the gospel from the get-go. You don't have to have, Michael, a legalistic experience. I think in some ways we may appreciate it a little bit more, but this message is not for just people who have been in church and who are in church. This message is for everybody, and thank God that around the world, especially in the Western world, in Europe and Canada and the United States, Australia, New Zealand, places like that, these are pretty unchurched people. And so the gospel can come in and have a profound effect without all the religious crap and the luggage and the baggage that it comes along with it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, to say, for anyone to conceive that the gospel for the person who was never indoctrinated into legalism would have less impact is like to say to any child that, because they were born in America where education is touted so highly that they could go through life without an education and it make no difference whether they got an education or not. And that really is the difference. The gospel educates the heart. It educates the heart on a level of emotional maturity that begins to just permeate. And I really believe that the basic part of us, of our human expression at least, is emotional. We attach emotion to everything. We have an emotional experience with smell, taste, touch, words. Everything creates an emotional response in us. But when the gospel comes in and touches that deepest fabric of our hearts and causes us to begin to see things differently from a totally different paradigm, the emotional consistency of the human being begins to change. The emotional consistency begins to change. One of the writers in the New Testament said, it's a good thing that the heart be established in grace. And letting us know that the grace of God, the gospel, does something to the heart. It begins to cause it. Again, I hate to use the term so much, but it's what I'm seeing in my mind's eye right now, is this incredible interfacing, that inside we are completely interfacing with God in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that should nurture your soul just constantly, that you are one with God. There's no vacancy, no empty space that can even be measured. There is not a distance that can be measured in its most minuscule amounts that could measure a distance between you and God. There is none. There is none. When people say, you know, well, I'm feeling the presence of the Lord, I understand that being something that you suddenly are aware of. But you must understand that just because we're having a momentary experience does not mean that God just showed up. It's just that we are becoming aware of something that is there on a consistent, absolute basis. I remember when I first began to see that all of evangelical Christianity taught some degree of distance between God, that worship and praise would get you closer, prayer would get you closer, sin would bring you farther away, positive confession would get God closer, God would move farther away from you with a bad confession, and on and on and on. I remember when my mind and my heart, Glenn, laid all of that crap down, and I became convinced that where I go, God goes. Where God goes, I go. There is no separation. I can't go into a place and leave God out. God can't go someplace and leave me out. We are one through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and there is no separation.
And even as he's there, Michael, wherever you go, wherever I go, where anybody else goes, he's never disapproving. Never.
Absolutely never. Just like what Richard was telling us. There is no attitude. Not only is he totally bound to you, but if you know the knowledge that you have of God, your soul can constantly feed on his goodness 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. That's the reason that the psalmist talked about, this is the day that the Lord hath made.
Yes.
I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, we used to sing that about, well, this is the day that the Lord. We were talking about Sunday. And I'm going to rejoice in this day, like you start a broadcast out, this is the only day. Well, that's the way we took that. This day is the day the Lord hath made. Well, God made all days, but the prophet was talking about the day of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. This day, God made the day, foretold the day that Jesus would die on the cross, unify God and man, the human race, from eons of history past and eons of history future, and fuse together God and man in an inseparable bond that cannot be broken by actions or deeds, cannot be elaborated on, it cannot be enhanced by actions and deeds. It is a consistent, it is a stabilizing force that when you define God in some movable, detached way, it creates doubt and instability in the heart. If I tell you, even if it's all positive, if I tell you, man, if you give tonight, man, God is going to come and be with you. You see, in the long run, I have created doubt in your heart because you can't give all the time. If I say, when you praise, God comes to be with you. If when you pray, I can't do that to a human being, because the moment I tell you even a positive thing to do that would be good for you, is it good to give? Yes, we've been talking about it. But never would I ever allow anyone to think that that is going to give them a greater encounter with God.
Right.
It may give them a greater ability to express their encounter with God, but it gives them no greater encounter with God.
Right, and the 24/7 access of God, regardless of where you're at in your life, regardless of where you physically are present, this is praying without ceasing, ladies and gentlemen. That concept, that's how you pray without ceasing. People say, what about prayer? We're always in a state of prayer. If you're in the state of the gospel, you cannot help but be in a state of praying without ceasing. Well, Michael, we need to keep you preaching because the donations are coming in very nicely right now. We really appreciate it. We'd like to get somebody on the phone line at 1-800-436-3260. Let's get a caller in here. It's a little after 10 o'clock on the East Coast. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Who will step up and be our next caller and may have a question for Michael and a pledge? We're raising $5,000 for the next 3 months. And to tell you, Michael, what a fantastic guy Patrick Jones is. Not only has he donated all this time and his expertise, without him, there is no webcast. That's just the fact. But now he's made a donation to the webcast, too.
Oh, my.
So Patrick steps up to the plate via PayPal, which we really appreciate, Patrick. Thank you very much for doing that. Also, my boy Ryan in New Jersey has stepped up and donated $50. Big night for New Jersey. This is a young man, Michael, who's best friends with my sons. Hears the webcast all the time. Ryan Cunningham from New Jersey, who was from Florida, and he's going to be spending some time with us in the beautiful state of Wisconsin next month. So we look forward to that. Ryan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Ryan works, Michael, at a Catholic church. He does maintenance and has coffee every morning with the Catholic priest there in New Jersey. He's got a Catholic background and making a $50 contribution to the gospel revolution.
That's beautiful. What an expression.
That is fantastic. Thanks, Ryan. And Ryan and I are birthday buddies. We were both born on the same day, on December 19th. So a few years apart. But no.
A few years apart.
And here's Jackie from Cleveland, Tennessee. You're an old stomping ground.
Oh, yes.
Making a $25 contribution. Thank you so much.
Jackie, my girl's coming through.
Yeah. So now we're at $25.90, ladies and gentlemen. We're over our halfway point. Who's going to step up and give the next $24.10? That's what we need, $24.10. We were talking about the Lord being with us 24/7. Who's going to make a donation of $2,410? We can do it all together, or somebody can do it by themselves, however it happens. We've got 30 minutes left to go. And then the rest of the week on the archive. If you're listening to the archive, let us know what you're going to do in a one-time gift by emailing us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com, so we can count it towards the goal. And we're also looking for another 19 people to donate on a monthly basis, whether it's $5, $10. For a $100 one-time gift, you will receive the teaching CD that Michael just did in Calgary, Canada, in Calgary, Alberta, Golgotha's Secret. That will be free of charge, postage paid. $100 will get you Golgotha's Secret. There's a lot of exciting stuff happening right now, and we will be letting people in as the summer progresses. We're going to be taking 3 weeks off starting next week, but we will have the best of Glenn Klein online with the president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. So be tuning into that. But as always, you can go to the archives at glennkleinonline.com. To make your contribution, just go to the website gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, and do your best. We need somebody to step up. Pick up the telephone right now at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. As we're in the stretch drive now of the Spring Pledge Drive, we would like to hear from you. We've got this second line. When we started this, it was just me and a microphone and Michael on a phone line, and that we pledged to get a second line in. We did that. Now we have that available for you. 1-800-436-3260. Our next question, Michael, comes from your pastor in beautiful Houston, from John Adair.
It's a trick question, I guess.
He says, John chapter 1 says, "To as many receive him, to them gives he the power to discover their true selves. Who they were created to be now and always has been inside. Embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ frees us from within to uncover and discover who has existed in us from the beginning, the God-created being uniquely unveiled as the gospel is revealed." I guess he wasn't asking a question. He was making...
I guess that wasn't a question.
Yeah.
That's just my pastor being himself.
That's a definitive, beautiful statement from John Adair of the Freedom Worship Center in Houston.
I might also, I want to add this last weekend, our service on the weekend, just beautiful. I was brought to tears, just to be honest with you. I was brought to tears hearing my pastor. I just feel so good saying that. It has been so many years since I associated with such a thing, and I knew I would never do it under any auspices of legalism. But to hear, and I am just encouraging everybody, you know, if you're coming to Houston, make sure you let us know. Because we're wanting to get John's, our last weekend, I would have given anything to have had that recorded, but we are going to start recording. And John's pastoral gift is just, it is beautiful. And then I spoke for just a few minutes after he did, and man, I tell you, you talk about something that's alive. I think that the people in the congregation, it's almost like being in a candy store now. They don't know. They don't really know what's going to happen, but they come expecting it's going to be very good because they get a pastor and a teacher at each session. So we really had a wonderful time. I was so elated, I just broke into tears. I couldn't stand myself with just the gratitude. I just felt so grateful just to be there, and my goodness, so yes, that's me giving thanks for my pastor. He's wanting me to change that name for him, but I like using it, so.
Why do you like using it?
I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, maybe it brings something of a, it's that connectiveness to something that, as we said, you know, as we walked into the gospel, I laid down every hint of a benefit from the gospel totally because I wanted to know the truth of the gospel without any promise of anything. I didn't want anything. I didn't want healing. I didn't want prosperity. I didn't want anything. I wanted to know the truth. And I didn't want a pastor. I wanted the truth. I just wanted to know the truth. And so now, as I feel, you know, not that there's not more truth to understand, but I feel that we have the big picture anyway. And now it's really strange, Glenn, because in my life I'm going back through some of the things that I left off, like giving. Like most of the people who came into the gospel, we all dropped off from giving because it's like, you know, we wanted to bathe in the freeness of this gift that we've been given, and now I'm wanting to give as much expression to this as I can, and really to be in a congregation like this gives me more than to just be a teacher. I get to give expression to this in a congregation. And that term pastor, you know, I'm a teacher and I don't understand why I'm a teacher, but I know I am. And I don't understand why John's a pastor and John don't understand why he's a pastor, but he is.
Sounds like you need an evangelist.
I know. Hey, let's roll on with the prophets too. So, you know, I'm it's the expression of the gospel now is what we're now examining. It's what I'm examining anyway. And I am not offended by anything that gives full expression to the gospel. And but you see, we literally had, I had to, I'm not going to impose this on anybody else but me. But Glenn, I had to lay down all of the benefits, even possible benefits, of the gospel to find the truth of the gospel. And now I know that I don't believe because of something I'm going to gain or going to get. I believe it because I know it to be the truth in my heart. There's not a, you know, it's like the people that are filling the churches down here in Texas now with what they call the prosperity gospel, which I preached very well and would have been one of those guys right now. Because I did it even better than they do it, but people are flooding the place because they're being promised financial increase by what they're doing. But I didn't. That's not what established me in the gospel. Now I'm grateful to be back into giving again, and I did quit. Now I don't see how that I could possibly quit because I was giving of myself all the time. But there's just something wonderful about having something tangible to give back of money, of the, you know, of a force that I have of money. But it's the same thing with having a pastor. That's precious to me now. I will always hold it dear, and I find myself. I know that the people in our local group here, they know how privileged they are to have someone like John, but I just keep reminding them, do you know what you have? You know, can you possibly understand what you really, really have? That there's people around the world who would move across the face of the earth to have something like this, that they really feel like that they'll never, ever have.
Well, I think we can all live a little vicariously through your experience by you relating it to us on the webcast, because frankly, I mean, it's not out there in any large numbers. We know that George Howell, who will be hosting the meeting in Indiana later this summer, which we will be informing you folks about, has a little church that he's affiliated with in Indiana that's living it. But it's so few and far between, and it's such a beautiful thing. So we love hearing it, although I want everybody to know that when Michael and I would talk about the possibility of having a church or anything like that, that Michael always said, I'm never going back. And I say, I never say never, because as a very liberal, almost communistic Jewish kid growing up in Chicago, if anybody would ever told me that I was going to end up being in evangelical Christianity, I would have said, there's no way. There's never. And then once I was in it, if anybody would ever said that I would have been involved in the gospel revolution, really counteracting and the evangelicalism and the Christianity that I was so supportive of, to the tunes of hundreds of thousands of dollars and all my time and all my effort and all my waking thoughts, I never say never. So you're back in the church, Michael. Congratulations.
Yes. Well, and as my pastor would say, I was never out of the church.
And speaking of the aforementioned John Adair, your pastor, he is online with us. He's just calling in from Houston as well. Johnny, how are you? Are you there? John Adair. There he is.
I'm here.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic.
We love your comments, my friend.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. It's so good to hear Mike just encouraged about the church and the people here and feeling the love and giving him a home to springboard from. It's been awesome.
Go ahead.
I was calling just to say that I think you're at 2590 now.
That is exactly correct.
So whatever we finish the night at, whether it be 2590 or closer to, whatever dollar we're missing between 2590 and 5000, Freedom Worship Center is going to donate that to Mike Williams Ministry.
Well, that is fantastic, John. How about if we say it this way, that every dollar that comes in, you will more than double between now
That's
and
right.
then. Up to. All right, so here we go. I'm stealing this right from public radio right now. Whatever you give, ladies and gentlemen, over the course of the next 15 minutes will be matched by the Freedom Worship Center in Houston, Texas, and Spring, Texas, actually, to be exact. And that is fantastic. Thank you so much. And
thank you, John.
I can't put into words, John, what has been happening in my heart listening to what's happening there in Houston. I mean, to say that is encouraging would just be, it would do a disservice to that word. I mean, it's amazing stuff. And
well, you said that we have the pastor, we have the teacher, we need an evangelist. And what some don't realize is we do have an evangelist. His name is Arthur Blessed.
What?
Yeah.
The Arthur Blessed?
The Arthur Blessed is our resident evangelist.
Really? The guy that carries around the cross everywhere?
Yeah.
Is that where your son got it from?
Well, I'm trying to think, when did that come? No, he got it from woodworking in the garage one day and made that on his own. And then just every service gets up there and stands with the cross on his own. And I've never questioned him about it. I've never deterred him from doing it. I just kind of let him do his thing. So... but it is just like Mike says, he gets up there and sometimes I hold it up and fall asleep while he's standing there. But, you know, it was really a joy for him to see Arthur come into our living room and bring his 9-foot by 12-foot cross and put it up in front next to his cross. And in fact, that night he laid his cross next to the big cross. And it was just kind of cute and I think inspiring. You know, he's inspired in his heart. And he knows Jesus. There's no doubt he knows Jesus.
The same Arthur Blessed that I've seen on the 700 Club and on TBN, this guy is affiliated with you guys down in Texas.
Right.
He gets it, in other words.
He more than gets it. He more than gets it.
I did not know this. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't
tell you on them all in one time, Glenn. There's too much going on.
I appreciate it, Michael. I really do. I only can handle it.
He doesn't get into argue doctrine with people. His message is Jesus, that Jesus paid it all. That's his message. And he's still sorting through some of it. But the bottom line is Jesus paid it all for everybody.
Well, and that, you know, Richard Mull was talking about this earlier, Michael. We're all still sorting through it.
Right.
We have the foundation of the gospel, but it is so immense and so intricate and yet so simple. I mean, if that's not evidence that it came from God, I don't know what is.
Well, you know, the church isn't the building, and it's not the formulation. It's not the methodology. And when Arthur came last June to check in on us, he left saying, this is the greatest church he's ever been to in his life. And that wasn't, Arthur's not one to patronize anybody or to compliment them beyond to earn recognition by any means. And I know what he was saying wasn't the building, it was the people. That the people were just free and warm and loved people, period. And that's what he meant by the greatest church.
It must be so great, you guys, to have people walk in the door, and you're never thinking about where they spent the night before. You're never thinking about what they did before they came to service. You're never thinking about, you know, who they're sleeping with or what they're doing. That has got to be the greatest manifestation of love on a consistent basis that I can imagine.
Well, let me tell you, there's not anybody that would walk in here that that if they didn't have a place to stay, would walk without a place to stay. If they walked in hungry, they would be fed.
Yeah.
This is an effortless, natural living out what the gospel is within, and everything we do is an expression of what's already within us.
Absolutely.
It's
really
true.
Anything, I'm experiencing it.
All right, John, we're all moving to Houston, okay?
That'd be great. Then I might have to move to Florida.
Well, my wife's a real estate agent.
My
wife's a real estate agent, so we can hook you up real good.
Hey, stop trying to solicit my pastor to move to Tampa, okay?
You like Tampa, Michael.
I know, but I live in Houston. He's okay. Not going anywhere.
All right.
You know what's cool about pastoring, too, is that you don't pick who you're going to pastor. They pick you. And for Mike to get back in touch with me, I've always loved Michael. I've always thought he is the greatest teacher, apart from the Holy Spirit, of anyone I've ever heard teach the gospel.
Totally agree with that.
And as a human being, as just a person, he is a warm, loving, caring individual. And he makes this false statement in most of the church services here, that he's a teacher, he's not a pastor, he doesn't care what you do with the gospel. It's none of his business, and he doesn't really give a flip one way or the other, but I'll tell you, that's not true.
But I won't say incognito, okay?
He does care, and he has a very compassionate heart, and what happens to people does matter to him. But he's also free to know he's not the savior, he's not the fix-all, and he lets God be God, and he's the teacher, and he relishes in the fact that people are changed for the better within themselves to be themselves. And it is a joy having him here. And the people are just amazed to see his tag team and come at a particular scripture from so many different angles all in one setting that I think it Mike and I leave together laughing because it is so freeing and enjoyable to, there's no schisms, there's no jealousy, there's no division. It's just, it really is what we've always envisioned and hoped could be is here. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic, John. And we've got a little over 5 minutes left to go. I want to open up the line for anybody else who wants to call, but thank you so much. Folks, we're going to be, I don't know if it's on there yet. It may be on the homepage, but thegospelrevolution.com. But we're going to get, if it's not there, I will check it this evening. We're going to make sure that, Johnny's still with us? He hung up. All right, so that phone line's available at 1-800-436-3260, and somebody's calling. Good. We're going to get the address and the phone number of the Freedom Worship Center on there prominently so that if you want to go down there, to experience this, that you'll be able to experience it for yourself. Michael, we have another donation that has just come in from our previous questioner, Stacy from Winchester, Virginia. She's donating another $20. And at this point, this is going to be doubled theoretically and literally by the Freedom Worship Center. Everything that you give now, ladies and gentlemen, is above and beyond our goal. So let's roll with that momentum right now. We still have 5 minutes left, and if you're listening to the archive, it will absolutely, positively count towards the goal. For a $100 or more gift, you're going to get the free new teaching CD from Michael, Golgotha's Secret, free and postage paid. $100 one-time gift. We're also looking for monthly donators. Just click on donations at gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you're going to do. Also, if you're listening on the archive or you're listening the last 5 minutes live tonight on this Wednesday night, please email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and let us know what you've done so that we can count it towards the goal. This is so encouraging, Michael. It's hard to put into words. I promised Mary Keller, who her husband, and she donated $100 this evening to get to her question, so I want to do that. She says, my husband and I are regular listeners, Glenn and Mike, and are enjoying the freedom of the wonderful gospel of what Jesus has done for us. Living in Tulsa for 14 years, we have heard more than enough of the sermons on what we need to do to get God to move on our behalf. We are so blessed that he already has moved on our behalf. They donated $100, and she says, this is one aspect of your teaching. I've heard at least 30 tapes, she says, Mike, that has confused me. I have heard you say you disagree with those who say God allows bad things to happen. If God is sovereign, doesn't he have to be allowing things to happen on some level? How can anything happen that he does not let happen? Did he set up this world for us and then leave nature to take its course? In the face of horrible family tragedy, I have a hard time accepting that God is not in control on some level. What do you think? Thanks again, Mary Keller.
Well, there's a lot of expression. In fact, if you would have taken me, Glenn Klein, and John Adair, there would be three different explanations for this, actually. Of course, I don't feel left alone even in making that statement, because I feel that freedom is such a powerful force in our lives, and that the expression of freedom from the heart is the presence of God. It is God being involved, and of course, that God is not allowing or stepping back. I personally don't see God stepping back and allowing something bad to happen. That would be me trying to conceive how, as a father, that I would step back and allow something tragic to happen to my child if it was in my power to stop it. So I guess I'm more would be more disturbed to think that that my father was stepping back and saying, okay, you know, go ahead, get hit by the car or whatever, you know. So that is peaceful for me. But the thing that I really would encourage people to do, because I know that, like I say, Glenn's perspective of this is different, and then even John's perspective of it is different again. It's kind of a mixture between me and Glenn, actually. But the thing that you have to do is find, this is one of those things where I encourage you to find what you think about these things that gives your heart peace. Because as John says all the time, you know, I don't have a dog in this fight. And this is not something that I consider to be a gospel issue.
Right. And I think people need to understand that while you and I have diametrically opposed opinions on this issue, and this is a huge issue, Mary, and a huge question that we get, it has nothing to do with the gospel. It's something to think about. It's something to contemplate. But as far as no matter what happens in this life, and no matter why it happens, we all end up in the same place, at peace with God. It's beautiful. And Michael, would this be true to say that as you and I have gone back and forth on this issue of the sovereignty of God, that it has never caused even one scintilla of schism between our relationship?
Oh, goodness, no. In fact, I enjoy talking about it. And I think that you do, too, whenever we've had the chance to kind of, if you will, banter back and forth with ideas about it. But it doesn't stir up any type of even an uncomfortable feeling, you know, because the thing of it is that, you know, he may be right, I may be crazy, it may be the other way around, but again, the thing that makes these issues, and I do consider this an issue of belief, it makes it irrelevant as far as whether or not we believe that God is involved at a moment-by-moment basis, that he's planned everything, that he only does good things, or that he does nothing. It's irrelevant as far as the revelation of the gospel.
Because he's already done everything.
It's already done. I mean, you know, and we can have these concepts, and the fact of it is we're going to have many different concepts about God. But please always remember that the revelation of God, the revelation of the gospel, is not about my opinion about God. It's about his opinion about me.
Yes.
And if we can keep that separate, we can talk about, if you had 100 people from the same church and the very same teaching get together and express what they believe about God, you'll have 100 different definitions.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's where, when we come to the unity of the faith, that's what Paul said we're supposed to be teaching the gospel for, is till we come to the unity of the faith. It's not that we come to a unity of our opinion about God. It's that we come to a unity about God's opinion about us.
Exactly. See,
about me, about you, individually.
This question, Mary, is something we'll never know. If there's anything we can know,
it's very much true.
We can talk about it. And as Michael said, I think this is great advice, Mike, is that come to a place where you're settled in your own heart about it, like any other issue. But if there's anything we can know, is that the cross has definitively caused righteousness to be poured out on all the earth. And that, as much as anything that we know, as much as we know the sun is going to rise in the east tomorrow,
yeah,
is that we are all righteous in the sight of God. And then on these other issues, you know, we're going to help you. We're happy to talk about them. But as Michael said, it's not a gospel issue. Well, we're raising our funds for the next 3 months for the Gospel Revolution, and we're going to go overtime. And this is a very good reason to go overtime, Michael, because we have Jeff on the line from Cocoa Beach, Florida, who has made a pledge of $20 a month, which is fantastic. Jeff, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
We're doing wonderfully.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going great.
How did you come across Michael and the Gospel Revolution, Jeff?
Oh, actually, my history with Michael goes back to New Life Bible College. And what motivated me more than anything is when I saw Jackie from Cleveland, Tennessee, made a donation. I was like, I've got to be able to match Jackie, because Jackie, I think Jackie's a mutual friend of Mike's and mine. And,
absolutely. And a beautiful one at that, right?
And a beautiful one, yes, absolutely. So I just decided I'll see that and raise it.
Now we need to hear back from Jackie again.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Jeff. And what are you doing in Cocoa Beach?
I'm a manager of a small hotel here on the beach, and just kind of wound up here. And in the evenings, I'm in the upstairs office right now just listening to you guys.
That's fantastic.
Awesome.
It's a nice break.
No doubt. And are you married or kids?
No, not married. Probably won't ever be.
You better pray about that, Jeff.
I came kind of close to that. I decided that probably I'm not mature enough for that yet.
Well, you know, they figured out the number one cause of divorce. You know that, Jeff?
What's that?
Marriage.
Getting married. That's right. Yeah.
Without marriage, there would be no divorce.
That's right.
All right. Well, we heard from Jackie from Cleveland, Tennessee. She says, "Hi, Jeff. I've been wondering after you, son." that's how you folks talk in Cleveland, Tennessee, isn't it?
Well, that's the way Jackie talks to me, definitely. But I'm doing great. And
wait. Jackie says she made a $25 per month gift, Jeff.
Oh,
so,
she did.
So she goes, "Beat it."
Okay, I'll beat it. We'll go 30.
All right, we're going 30. Jackie, do I hear 35, 35, 35? Jeff, thank you so much.
And thanks
to Jackie and everybody else. And stay in touch, all right?
Will, and I'll talk to you later, Jackie.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks, Mike.
Look at how we're putting people in touch. This is a beautiful thing. And what a great way to end the Spring Pledge Drive. I'll tell you that, Michael, right now.
Yes. With a bidding war going on.
Well, for those of you that are listening on the archive, here we've got James Forehand from Corpus Christi, Texas, in with $100. Thank you so much, James. Really appreciate it. And you will be receiving free the CD teaching Golgotha's Secret, Michael's latest teaching that came from Alberta, Calgary. Last month. And so everybody who's listening on the archive right now, for those that make a $100 or more donation one time, you will be also receiving Golgotha's Secret free and postage paid. And if you're sending checks out of the United States, please include USF by the check amount, which stands for United States Fund, and send it to Mike Williams Ministry, MWM, P.O. P.O. Box 572, Olney, Illinois, 62450. That's P.O. Box 572, Olney, O-L-N-E-Y, Illinois, 62450. And all the contributions that come in during this next 7 days will be more than matched by Freedom Worship Center, so that everything that comes in will take us over our stated goal of $5,000. Well, Michael, I am out of here for 3 weeks.
Yes, you are, Glenn.
Think you can handle that?
You know, it's going to be difficult, but you'll have to call me.
Chances are that that will be happening. And you guys stay in touch, too, at the GospelRevolution.com website. Just click on donations there to make donations. Click on Invite Mike for information about how to invite Mike this summer or autumn to your area, because it is a lot easier and inexpensive, a lot more inexpensive than you think. I mean, Michael, you're going to be in Indiana. We have a meeting in the works in Wisconsin. We already talked about the fact that you're going to be back in Canada in November.
Yes, and also in Canada in September in Kelowna.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
that's
based up and going.
Hold on, we need to get the Fox News alert. There's the Fox News alert sound effect. I did not know that.
Yes.
That's very.
Yes.
There's
just so much going on. I can't keep you up to date.
But it will be up to date on the GospelRevolution.com website. And if you're listening, but for some reason not receiving our emails, just click on to get the email updates right there. And Tim Pruitt, our webmaster, will get that. And you will be added onto the list so that you will be consistently and constantly updated as to the goings on. And pretty much, Michael, if you're not teaching somewhere else, you will be teaching at the Freedom Worship Center in Houston, Texas. So people should keep that in mind.
At least in part, if not in full.
This was fantastic. Great exhortations and teaching tonight. And thank you so much for your time, Michael.
Oh, my. And privilege on my part.
And thank you for everybody to contributing, including our executive producer and engineer and call screener and now donor to the Gospel Revolution, Patrick L. Jones. Michael, we love you.
Love you, Glenn. Thank you so much.
And
love everybody.
And we'll talk to you with the Glenn Klein Online, the best of, over the next 3 weeks. And then, Lord willing, and if the creek don't rise, June 20th for our next live webcast. This is Glenn Klein Online. Until then, shalom, everybody.